This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. Preparations are underway in the wine shop and the tasting room for the 2021 season. The winery reopens March the 17th. The bistro reopens March the 18th. There's still complimentary shipping on all online orders of six or more bottles. Check out the 2013 Joa Vineyard Merlot, which received 90 points. All the details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. My name is Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. We are in our going into our 14th year. Started in a studio in a barn on the Naramata Bench. And along the way, we met some really, really interesting people. One, I got to meet Neil McLennan. Actually, I got to really know better when we ended up in Argentina together. We had to go all the way to Argentina in order to do a wine tour and get a chance to talk. Neil is the food and travel editor for Van Mag and Western Living. And he was the one who put in front of me the 15th year of the finalists for the Western Living Foodies of the Year. Hello, Neil. Did I get that right so far?
That's it. We're good so far. Yeah, you and I sitting in a hotel room in Argentina watching Canadians win the gold medal was our first
exactly.
long period of time together.
Exactly that. 15 years of Foodies of the Year. How do they qualify? What are the qualifications?
You know, the qualifications is you have to be, Western Living represents the four Western provinces, so you have to be a Western Canadian. You know, when we first started, it was 40 foodies under 40, so there was an age restriction, but somewhere in the last 15 years, we've said, you know what, we just want to find the people who have done interesting things. So they're winemakers, they're activists, they're restaurant owners, they're chefs. They're farmers, they're producers. So there's no particular qualification other than being from the West and doing something special in the calendar year. So that's, I mean, it's a broad option. So getting it down to just 40 has always been a little bit of a trick. And then going from 40 to 10 is even more of a trick.
Yeah. By the way, they will announce the top 10 March the 10th. And a question about that I had as I was writing this all out. Is there a number one, or is it just top 10? Here's your top 10.
Yeah, it's just top 10. And really, you know, the web is perfect for anything, so we can write stories on 40 people on the web. But when we funnel it down to the sort of 10 finalists, that is in the magazine where we get to shoot portraits and have a little bit longer essays on them and so forth, and get to dig a little bit deeper on 10 people from BC and Alberta and Saskatchewan and Manitoba who we think have really sort of had an interesting story and made a mark in the last year.
Okay. His name is Neil McLennan, and he is the travel and food editor, Van Mag, Western Living. And this is the Western Living, the 15th year of Foodies of the Year, the finalists. There are 40, if I'm not mistaken. Now, you give us a line in here that says, please join us in raising a glass in honor of our 2021 Foodies of the Year. But in fact, what we're really judging here and part of the stories is the fact that they were Foodies of the Year through 2020, a year like
Absolutely.
No other. And so,
Absolutely.
So we're really rewarding them for surviving as well, and then assisting along the way.
Yeah, a lot of them, you know, In a given year, the stories are all about great things that have happened. I mean, last year was for the industry as a whole has been just an absolute gut punch. So a lot of the people we're talking about are, you know, there's someone in Devour Catering in Calgary, Devour Schuster, just, you know, found that there was, I think it was 2,000 pounds of potatoes that were just, you know, were supposed to be going to French fries and restaurants that were going to be busy in Calgary that weren't. And lo and behold, she and her crew donates their time and starts making ready-to-eat meals for homeless and underprivileged in Calgary. And that's just the exact sort of thing. There's a bunch of stories that are like that, that have people who, you know, were faced with a real mountain in front of them in 2020 and still figured out how to do something creative to help other people. And that really is a theme this year, more so than in years past, for sure, because of COVID.
Okay, Neil, let's see how quickly we can get through this, because I wrote it all out. When I was writing it out, I'm thinking, we'll never get there. Here we go. Catherine Backman, Nora's Non-Dairy, Vancouver.
Yeah, have you ever? It's just fantastic. It's non-dairy ice cream, and it's one that just will turn your head around how good it is. And that's just been a growth one, right? And frankly, we talk about certain people who had terrible, difficult COVID years. My guess is that Nora's Non-Dairy, given that people are staying home and so forth, probably if they're able to deal with their supply chain issues actually sort of increased their market. So it really is quite special non-dairy ice cream that you would never know it. It's tasty beyond belief.
Here's two people that you and I know and love. Ned Bell, Kate Colley, who met on our porch in Naramata. And they have come full circle to the Naramata Inn, and they have saved that building and the restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, that is right in your old backyard. You know, one of the things about Ned and Kate. Kate was obviously in PR in Vancouver, and people know Ned through his chef work, through the Four Seasons, through Ocean Wise, through Murrieta's in Calgary was, I think, when I first came across them. You know, we love the Okanagan. There's a zillion great things, and there's a bunch of cool little small hotels. But, you know, you've never really had in the Okanagan that sort of Napa experience, that sort of small inn in Calistoga or Yountville. Or Healdsburg, that is small and bespoke and has some history and has like a restaurant that's amazing and a wine list that really covers the entire region, like the coolest bottles of the entire region. And, you know, that Naramata Inn, people have been waiting for years, decades for that to become that thing, because Naramata has already gotten there in terms of the growers, in terms of the producers and the people who are around there. And they just came with their partners, I think it's Marie and Paul, and they've just done an amazing, amazing job there. You know, even with the COVID year, I heard just amazing things. The restaurant was busy, busy, busy. The hotel was busy, busy, busy. And I really think this will be one of those defining moments for hospitality, at least. The Okanagan. I'm so happy for those two.
And of course, Ned's come full circle because he grew up 20 minutes.
Absolutely, right from there.
And as much as we need accommodation, a really good small boutique hotel accommodation, when we left the Okanagan in 2010, they asked me impressions. I said, you need more restaurants, whether they're big or small. You need more kitchens working, and slowly but surely, it's happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
His name is Neil McClellan, travel and food editor, Van Mag, Western Living. And this is the Western Living, the 15th year of Foodies of the Year, the finalists. Tess Beveridge and Tom Robillard from Hanai Family Table in Vancouver.
Yeah, this is we don't always want, like, obviously, the Naramata Inn we were just talking about has a lot of press around it and so forth. Hanai Family Table is a custom kitchen. They don't have a bricks and mortar store where you go to. But these are two people. I think they moved from Oahu to Vancouver, if I'm right, it's about 2 or 3 years ago. Mm. And they just started making classic Hawaiian cuisine, which is a cuisine that has a zillion things in it. Well, people always focus on the spam because that's one of the things, but there's Portuguese influences, there's Filipino influences, there's Japanese influences, all sorts of interesting things. And they just do a dynamite job. You order in advance, you show up on, I think it's their kitchen is on East Pender, and they hand it over, and people love it. It's like a cult thing. It sells out every weekend. They do it practically, but also in a year where no one could travel, I'll tell you, you know, it came to me because, you know, my wife and daughters, we often would be in Hawaii at some juncture this year. And around Christmas time, we said, well, no one's going to Hawaii. And having that spread of Hawaiian food of the classics, like Rispam Wasabi, we had the garlic furikake chicken. And it really is great. And obviously, that's become a thing. People love it. And it seemed like really great, low-key, high-quality food. So it's just one of those little things that we just wanted to shine a spotlight on because we think it's what makes a place like the West so cool that you can have this little slice of Oahu in East Vancouver.
He's Neil McClellan, and he is the food and travel editor, Vancouver Magazine and Western Living. And these are the finalists, the nominees, as it were, for the Foodies of the Year, their 15th annual list, which will be announced March the 10th. The top 10 will be announced March the 10th. And we're going to blow through these as best we can. I'm going to name drop here. The Bread and Butter Collective, Social Issues Victoria, Sterling Grice, A Part and Parcel, and my favorite, the Big Wheel Burger Team. So what's going on here?
This is just, I mean, this is one of those, we'll talk about it later with Taylor from Tocofino. You know, this last year was a lot of people, you know, facing such hardship saying, listen, we have to take a hard look at the industry, the hospitality industry, the inequities in it, the inequities between front of house and back of house, the ability to make a living wage while working in a restaurant or running a restaurant. And so this is just a thing of like-minded people in Victoria getting together and creating a common discussion about these issues. And it's nothing more than that, because that in some ways is the long-term survival of the industry. And these are people in Victoria who said, listen, we've got to talk about how we can pay people properly, how we can get proper returns, how we can engage with our communities better. So really just the source of social enterprise, I think, as it intersects with the hospitality industry. It's super important work.
Actual Daddy, Good Pizza, Vancouver.
By the way, this is the classic Instagram. Starts making pizza out of his place, turns into an actual pizza restaurant. This is like the COVID story. Pizza is amazing. Everybody loves it.
Wow. Antonio Caon, Andrew Jameson, and Sean Reeve.
Say Mercy had just opened. Those are the people behind McKinsey Room. Say Mercy's open for about a month. COVID hits. This is their new restaurant on Fraser Street. And instead of throwing up their hands, they legitimately roll up their sleeves and start making food for frontline workers, underprivileged people, donating to food banks. They really led the charge between by showing the staff meal program and by showing that even in tough times, you can still help others. Amazing stuff. And by the way, Antonio, who is the front of house guy, was also legitimately in a Hallmark movie last
year. He wasn't in a Hallmark movie. So how about Taylor Chabodiak from Takafino, numerous locations in BC?
Same thing. They started this shift change idea, and it's just bringing up topics and having roundtable discussions. Initially, they were in person, and then they became virtual, of course, like so many other things. But dealing with race, dealing with transgender issues, dealing with sexism in the industry, just really taking a hard look at some of the issues that long-term plaguing the industry, and seeing what they and the group of like-minded people can do about it. So great social work there.
Shift change. I've got to remember that one.
Megan
and Steve Clark, Tractor.
Yeah, I mean, Tractor. I remember the first Tractor opening in 2013. Fresh food, easy to go. And they've just become tailor-made for taking food from home or having healthy food. I think they're up to nine. There's one in Victoria. There's one in Toronto. Just amazing restaurants that absolutely fill a niche. Everyone loves Tractor, and it's going to keep growing.
It's basic stuff, Neil. It's the healthy pre-made meals, right?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. It's great stuff and tasty. It's like it's the whole deal.
I couldn't miss in downtown Victoria a couple of years ago, Super Baba, the first one that opened. And then when I found out that Robbie Kane was involved, I thought, okay, he's my hero. He's my food hero.
Yeah.
This is going to be really good. To explain the concept.
Well, it's Middle Eastern food, but the ingredients are just, it really is amazing. So it was in Victoria. It's been in Victoria for almost 3 years, I think. And it was always supposed to open in Vancouver, and it didn't. And it finally did open here. You have a great chef with Dala Alshami. Then you have a black backers of the Takafino people and Robbie Kane from Cafe Medina. And it really is, I mean, it's been takeout in Vancouver the whole time. It is in some ways the perfect COVID meal. It's healthy. It's great. The focus on ingredients and detail is amazing. And it's affordable. Like it really is, you know, hits that sweet spot of you want to give yourself a little break, but you don't want to break the bank. I just love it. Super Baba has been a huge hit since it opened in Vancouver a couple months back. And obviously Victoria knew about it beforehand. But yeah, amazing on Main and Broadway. It's an amazing place.
And it's pickup only?
It's pickup only for now. And no, no delivery services. They said, listen, we just can't make a go of it with that. I hope you understand. Pickup only for the time being.
Leanne Falder, Edmonton Journal.
No, I mean, she's been the voice of food and wine in my hometown of Edmonton for as long as I can remember. She's retiring this year, and this is just us standing back and giving a slow clap to someone who really covered that food scene like nobody else for the Edmonton Journal for 3 decades.
Okay, we're going to take a break. This is going to be a journey. We're talking to Neil McLennan, the food and travel editor, Vancouver Magazine and Western Living Magazine. And he is detailing for us the top 40 foodies of the year, the finalists. The 15th annual awards will come out March the 10th, the top 10, in no particular order. We're going to do 11 through 20 right after this. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. Preparations are underway in the wine shop and the tasting room for the 2021 season. The winery reopens March the 17th. The bistro reopens March the 18th. There's still complimentary shipping on all online orders of six or more bottles. Check out the 2013 Jowa Vineyard Merlot, which received 90 points. All the details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery, the picturesque 50-acre estate winery in the beautiful Cowichan Valley, with a microclimate that allows them to grow seven different varietals, ranging from fruity whites to full-bodied reds. Enrico's Tasting Room is open Wednesday to Saturday, noon to 4, retail sales Monday to Friday, noon to 4. Enrico Winery, just 45 minutes north of Victoria in the Cowichan Valley. And to really get connected, sign up for their newsletter. Just head for their website, EnricoWinery.com. Welcome back. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Neil McLennan has taken over the show from Van Mag and Western Living. And we're basically doing the foodies of the year for 2021. The top 10 will be announced March 10. In the meantime, I'm going to give you as much detail as I can on our website, tastingroomradio.com, found at mulligans2.ca. You can always go to Western Living and their website, and you can see real photos, as a matter of fact. Mike Gordon, let's start at 11 here. Mike Gordon, Great Plains Craft Spirits in Calgary. Because I do Tasting Room Radio, I am seriously interested in this.
Yeah, it's an up-and-coming distiller, and one of his interesting things that he's been doing, he's actually been taking... is distilling, I think, is done in Kelowna, if I remember correctly, but he's finishing it in these really interesting casks, like 20-year-old cognac casks, 35-year-old Armagnac casks. So he's finishing the whiskey, and it helps age it a lot more quickly. I mean, one of the problems with a young distillery is you just can't get whiskey out quickly enough. Anyways, he's just starting out, but wins the Best New Whiskey at Canadian Whiskey Awards for one finished in a sherry brandy cask that was supposed to be amazing, and you know, great things from a new distiller.
Is that the Jerez brandy?
Yeah.
Best new whiskey. I love that. Yes, I do remember that, Victoria. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. He is Neil McLennan, the travel and food writer, Van Mag, and Western Living. And we're going down the list of top foodies of 2020 and 2021. Let me see if I can mispronounce his name. Brandon Grosudi.
Yeah, Grosudi from Pigeon in Vancouver. I mean, he's been a longtime restaurateur in Gastown. Pigeon has been a stalwart down there.
Oh, man, what a menu.
Great consistency. Yeah. But what he did this year is, you know, one of the things you hear when we talk to restaurateurs is you know, the DoorDash and Skip the Dishes, as great as they are for getting the stuff out, they're unbelievably expensive. You know, these restaurants are operating on pretty thin lines, and those are difficult ones. So he said, you know what? He used to be in finance before he opened Pigeon. He said, I'm going to figure out how to do essentially user-run delivery app. It's called From2. It's still just taking off, but it is, because it allows the people to control the process and save some money. So it's an idea to save, you know, for restaurants who can't afford DoorDash, and that's not that small number. It allows them to deliver their food to consumers. So big deal. And that's I mean, he's a great restaurant too, but this is almost a social enterprise. He's not making any money off of it. It's just to help out restaurants.
I'm going to ask you about the Hamill Brothers in just a second in Penhold, Alberta. Red Shed Malting, Joe and Matt Hamill.
Yeah, this is, I love stories like this. Alberta, I don't know how many generations there are in the Hamills of the farm near Penhold's not that far from Red Deer. But they make malting. You need malt to make beer, and everyone wants to talk about craft beer, but no one really thinks about all the ingredients that go into it. So these two young guys have said, hey, we're going to adapt the family farm to supply, and they supply a lot of the craft breweries in both Calgary and Edmonton. So I love the story there.
Is it Jill Hoff, Monogram Coffee? She was the barista winner, yeah?
Yeah, she won Best Barista in Canada, only time at the Canadian Barista Championships. I think it's the only time a woman's ever won it. She's from Monogram in Calgary. I think there's three or four Monograms in Calgary, just a super high-end, cool coffee store. And it's just a great idea. It celebrates diversity. It celebrates the nerdiness of coffee. So, yeah, big fans.
Kristen Jagger.
Oh, yeah. Jagger. Vancouver food runners. You know, you have a bakery that doesn't sell all their bread. And what Tristan's been able to do is has this app with a bunch of volunteers. And so a bakery puts their name into the app and they source a runner. That's hence the runner. And they give it to underprivileged community groups, people in need and so forth. And it just really, A, it's an amazing thing. It avoids waste. It does good. It's one of those things that is like for the classic win-win. And it's been just been taking off. I've volunteered for it a couple times. It's easy. You just pull out the app. You type 3 hours where you're free and you see if there's something you can pick up.
Wow.
Place to drop it off. It's a great thing. Great thing.
235,000 pounds of food, which is equivalent to over 195,000 meals.
Would have been thrown out. That's in less than a year. It's amazing.
Kelsey Jones. Well, here's a hero. Yeah. Kelsey Jones, yeah. Shambar, Vancouver.
Yeah, I mean, Kelsey's amazing. She's one of the, and I think she's been at Shambar for 4 years, and she is the Shambar.
Nobody stays 4 years anywhere.
Yeah, unless they're amazing and they work with amazing people and they're allowed to foster amazing people. She does all of that. And she's also been a good voice for standing up, for the rights of people who work in the industry. Sexism is rampant in the wine industry. It's really sort of being addressing. It's been an old boys club for a long time. And Kelsey's been someone who says, listen, we have to address this. But she always does it in a way that makes everyone feel included. And on top of all, she's just really one of the best moms in the country. She's just she's amazing.
She speaks out for respect and equality and won't leave until she makes her point. I really like that about her. And man, does she ever know her wines. Holy smoke, is she good.
Yeah.
And that's a great bar, of course. Jenny Kang, Orchard in Calgary.
Yeah, Orchard's a new restaurant. Jenny Kang's a super cool chef. She was at Darren McLean's Shokunin, one of the most acclaimed restaurants in all of the West. That was her last thing. She used to work at the ranch or the Bow Valley Ranch as well. This is she's on her own now. She's a part owner in this Orchard, which is an unbelievably beautiful room. I have not been because of the COVID, but I've seen pictures of it. And she's sort of the star here. Hot new restaurant in Calgary, and she's supposed to just be killing it with sort of a Pan-Asian take on Mediterranean food, so super cool.
And she grew up on a farm in South Korea?
Outside Seoul. So she has this interesting blend of a farm to table. She grew up on a farm, but she also has the South Korean aspect of the farm to table, so it really is, the menu looks just amazing.
When I saw the name Muley's Artisan Food Market, I thought, cat thing? Tell me about that.
Yeah, this is a new thing. When I used to live in Edmonton, I lived just off 124th Street where this place is. And this is just like a super cool Meinhardts of Edmonton, from what I understand. Really cool young guys making a market where they know the producers, they know the butchers, they know the people bringing the produce. And it really is making 124th Street in Edmonton like this sort of cool area for foodies. And they've really helped drive that. So cool little store, from what I understand.
Glendon Tan, Will Kotowitz, and Peter Keith, Muley's Artisan Food Market in Edmonton. The secret, I love this, the secret meat club.
Yeah, I know.
I like that.
Before they had a store, they had the secret meat club. You could sign up for it and you just get meat dropped off, which seems, I like it. It seems like a prohibition or something.
And then some wineries just sort of very slowly grow. They don't come in with a boom. They just open and people discover them. And that is Lightning Rock Winery, Tyler Knight and Jordan Kubik.
Yeah, they're amazing. So Jordan is, she worked at Okanagan Crush Pad for, I think, 5 or 6 or 7 years, and she was in charge of the sparkling, and her and her husband, Tyler, have two beautiful pieces of property. I guess they have a third one now that's just going to come online shortly in Summerland, and they focus on sparkling wine and focus on Pinot Noir, but they make still Pinot Noir, still some Pet Nats as well, but their sparklings are out of this world good. $35 a bottle. They are 100% Pinot Noir. They are amazing. It seems like an operation that's been around for 15 years. It's so on point. Really one of my favorite wineries. And it does seem like it came from nowhere, but they've been working very hard behind the scenes in other wineries to make it seem so easy.
And they really didn't need more production because they were selling out very quickly.
I tried to buy some, I tried to buy some, I think, by June. And I was like, too late.
Sorry. Eve Laird, Eve's Crackers, Nanaimo raised in Vancouver.
Yeah, have you ever, these are amazing. Like, I'm not, thank goodness, gluten intolerant. But these are amazing crackers. You sometimes will see them at the edge. I think you can stop by them at Whole Foods. I've seen them at Safeway. They're gluten-free crackers that are just amazing. They just they just happen to be gluten-free, and they've gone insane, right? You know, usually you're paying a price for the gluten-free. There's no price to be paid here, other than they're a little pricey. But yeah, and she's just gone great guns with this. This is, I don't, the sky's the limit for this company. And when you see them, you should try them. They're amazing.
Our guest is the affable Neil McLennan, the food and travel editor at Vancouver Magazine and Western Living. And we're talking about the Western Living Foodies of the Year 2021, the finalists. They will announce the top 10 on March the 10th. We'll be right back with the final 20. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery, the picturesque 50-acre estate winery in the beautiful Cowichan Valley, with a microclimate that allows them to grow 7 different varietals, ranging from fruity whites to full-bodied reds. Enrico's Tasting Room is open Wednesday to Saturday, noon to 4, retail sales Monday to Friday, noon to 4. Enrico Winery, just 45 minutes north of Victoria in the Cowichan Valley. And to really get connected, sign up for their newsletter. Just head for their website, EnricoWinery.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch, who would like to announce that Black Swift Vineyards has opened The Nest. Their tasting room is open on a first-come, first-served basis, no booking required, currently accepting groups of up to 6 people in accordance with good response guidelines. They have a wonderful patio and a picnic area you can often find on site, Grumpy Chef, Little Tokyo Ramen, and their very own smoke show, smoked meats barbecue food truck on the site. BlackSwiftVineyards.com and TheHatchWines.com. And from all of the worker bees at The Hatch, have a safe and happy 2021. We're talking to Neil McLennan, who is the food and travel editor at Van Mag and Western Living magazine. And this is the 2021 Foodies of the Year, the finalists, which will be announced March the 10th. The top 10 will be announced. And we've gotten to 20. Let's do the last half.
All right.
Arlie and Brett LaRoche, Scott Dix and Lacey Sellinger, at Odla in Saskatoon.
Oh, how cool is this? So we have 2 chefs. This is in order. So Arlie and Brett are farmers. Scott, I think, is the chef, and I think Lacey's the somm. They get together and have this connection between the farm and the restaurant, Odla. And Odla is a Scandinavian-based sort of restaurant, but it is like a generational farm with Scandinavian roots on one side, and then you have a restaurant in Saskatoon that sells and turns that stuff into wonderful stuff on Broadway Ave in Saskatoon. I love it. I mean, that's exactly the sort of, this is why we do things like Foodies of the Year, because it celebrates things that, you know, people in Vancouver might not know about, and same with people in Saskatoon. We do about Vancouver, but this is the sort of cool thing that I just love about Western Canada. So yeah, Odla in Saskatoon, cool place.
Arlie and Brett LaRoche, Scott Dix and Lacey Sellinger at Odla in Saskatoon. I'm surprised we haven't celebrated Julius Makarowicz previously. He's been on the show a couple of times. Nude Beverages in Vancouver, huge sales.
Yeah, I mean, it's so weird. Like it says in the write-up here, like Nude seems like it's been around for ages. It's only been around since 2017, but it seems like it doubles or triples every year. I mean, it's just become one of the great success stories. You know, we're, you know, the inventor of White Claw resides in British Columbia, but we didn't see White Claw for the longest time. And Julius seems like that entrepreneur who also loves food, saw a niche, and he just has nailed it with Nude Beverages. They have really, really significant position in the market here.
They have been scrambling to keep up ever since, and they're doing extremely well in the States.
Yeah, yeah. And great marketing. Like, it's all, the packaging is good, the marketing's good. Everything's just on point. He really nailed it that time.
And, of course, there's a lot of people imitating what he's doing now, so he has to work just as hard. There's no easy cruise for that company. Jonathan Burke, Alex Plowman, and Craig and Julian Sheridan, Legends Hall in Coquitlam.
Yeah, so Legends Hall, for Vancouverites, this has become part of our foodie lexicon. You know, COVID hits, and these people have been delivering to restaurants, high-quality produce, high-quality proteins to restaurants, and lo and behold, that dries up. So they do, I know we say the word pivot all the time, but they do like one of the great classic pivots. go direct to consumers and start bringing amazing meat, amazing produce, direct. And it's just been, they have really hit a niche that people have been looking for, both with the delivery, but also with the access to the sort of goods that a normal consumer wouldn't be allowed to have or wasn't allowed to have prior to COVID. And yeah, they just have been going great, great guns. So they did it to save their business, and their business has grown by a huge leaps and bounds because of this doing it. It's a really great place. Legends Hall is just part of people's lexicon here now, for sure.
And of course, a part of that lexicon is it's not H-A-L-L, it's H-A-U-L. So Legends Hall. All right.
Yeah.
Gemma McNeil and Doug Zacklin from Zacklin Heritage Farms in Surrey. Now, here's the thing about this. This is only, we're talking about micro growing here. 1.5 acres.
Yeah, it is. They become these two, like, it's so small, but it's become, and I'm sure they would hate it because they're down-to-earth people, but they've become like the brand name of produce. When you see a Zacklin Heritage Farm frisée or a turnip or something or other, you know, restaurants will put that on as like a selling point. I think of like Andrea Carlson was an early adopter at Burdock & Co. You know, if you really care about your vegetables and where it comes from and value like the insane flavor on it, they've really become, I mean, there's others, but they've really become one of the main ones where, you know, it's a Zacklin beat. And that's like a thing, which is awesome. I love that we've got to that level where people are dialing down into the producers like that, because it's amazing.
Well, they must be sustainable because they've been working that field for 90 years, that family.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and they're still making high quality. You know that they're taking care of it, probably very organic and sustainable. I like that. It speaks volume about them. Saeed Metahoma. name of the company is Saeed the Pastry Nerd in Calgary.
Yeah. So Saeed, this is like the classic COVID story. He's a French Comorian. So I think it's Comoros is the island off, in the middle of the Indian Ocean off the African thing. But he's a PhD in neuroscience.
Yeah.
And COVID hits. And he says, I love baking. I've always loved baking. He's on Instagram. He's doing YouTube videos. And what starts as a lark for a guy who's not in the food industry at all becomes this big thing in Calgary, and Calgarians start to share it with other people. So this guy will make eclairs. This guy will make molten lava chocolate cakes. He's just a passionate guy who cares about food. And that was what COVID started became for the years, that everyone said, okay, let's retreat to our kitchens and spend a little bit more time, maybe buy a little bit nicer ingredients and focus on things that we just used to blow through again. And he's a poster child for that a little bit.
Saeed, the pastry nerd. Okay, good. And you know, he brings neuroscience to baking, obviously.
Absolutely.
That's crazy. Okay, here's a guy I love a lot. First time I ever met, I just loved him. He talked for 3 minutes. I said, I'm going to sit down and talk to him. Shane Munn, Martin's Lane in Kelowna. Amazing winemaker.
Yeah, I mean, we sometimes don't celebrate. We celebrate the underdog all the time in our wine industry, and that's awesome because we're a new wine industry, relatively, right? But sometimes it's important to take a step back and look at what some of the big boys, for lack of a better term, and Anthony von Mandel's Martin's Lane, physically is one of the most beautiful wineries I've ever seen.
Yep.
And Shane makes the Rieslings and the Pinot Noirs there, and they are, hate to say it, but they're world class. They are amazing, amazing wines. These Rieslings you could stick in your cellar for 25 years would be my guess.
Yeah.
The Pinots have elegance. Some of them have a little bit more power. It's really a special, special place. I think it's a special time every time I see a bottle of Martin's Lane. It's pricey, but it's not as pricey as it would be if it was from 90% of the other wine regions in the world with the amount of money that goes into it and the quality is. That being said, all of that is, Shane's the most easygoing, friendly winemaker you'd ever want to meet. But the wines he makes at Martin's Lane are out of this world good.
I'm crazy about the Pinot as well.
They're so good.
Now, many people have seen in Vancouver the Mr. Bannock truck. And if you don't good Bannock, you're going to line up and get your Bannock. Paul Natral is the man behind that. And but he is also, well, I like the fact that you're touching all the bases here. In his role as director of the Indigenous Culinary of Associated Nations, he's a busy guy.
Yeah, he is. So everyone knows Mr. Bannock. Everyone knows and loves Mr. Bannock. And Paul's there all the time. And he's like just a great great guy. But, you know, again, this is a little bit of a COVID story, you know, with the Indigenous Culinary Association of, or Culinary of the Associated Nations. They started to say, what can we do to deal with it? And they were doing this Indigenous Feast Box program that, that saw people throughout the country, especially in the West, working towards creating healthy meals for their communities. And again, one of those things of, you know, it's tough for everyone. COVID hit, and some people just said, you know what can I do to help others? I know my business is hurting, but I'm sure other people are hurting more than me. And one of those ones, I just, you know, take a step back and like a real set of applause for this, because impressive stuff that they're doing.
It's nice to see right next door, number 28, Nkatka, First Nations, the Trout Hatchery in Darcy.
Yeah, so this is north of Whistler, and this first came to my attention. I think I was at the Fairmont in Whistler and eating this amazing trout, and the chef there was saying, oh, yeah, you got to try this. This is amazing stuff. We get it just from Darcy. And, you know, the interesting thing is trout's not – it's a trout hatchery, right? It's not, although it's native to that area, it hasn't. This isn't wild caught, and they've really transformed this to a sustainable – trout hatchery. And again, COVID hits, and what do? They pivot and say, you know, community, come get three trout. You start eating our trout. You should love this trout. And they do that and then start offering it at a discount to help feed people in the community. So another really good feel-good story about COVID. Also, but getting the sort of brand name of their farm trout out there, because when you see it on a restaurant, it's increasingly coming down to the Lower Mainland. It's good stuff.
And did I say the name correctly, Nkatka?
I think so.
Okay.
You're, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I know there may be a salad in there. But and I also love the fact, I know that area. My father was a game warden. I know that they were known for salmon. There was a salmon run there, and you could catch salmon on the fly. And so to bring in a trout hatchery, that's a turn, as it were.
Yeah. Yeah, the people in the band, you know, their default, I'm sure, would have been salmon for generations, right? So introducing this farm trout as part of a sustainable, not just a business, which is great,
sure,
but as part of their out of their diet, is a super cool idea.
All right, let's head just outside the on Vancouver Island. Maple Bay Hop Farm, Maple Bay, which just a gorgeous area. Ben Reeder.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's an interesting one. We were talking about the Red Side Malting guys from Penhold, but how many of us, like, I know I drink 80% IPAs probably. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's obviously become a very popular style of craft beer, but you need hops for all those IPAs. And these are, you know, Ben is one of the partners in Backcountry Brewing in Squamish, which is produces very good beer. But he was like, okay, well, where are we going to get hops for it? We need local hops. We should try and get local hops. So goes to Maple Bay on the island and starts a hop farm. So again, goes to a bunch of, you know, you see a Luplo here, Strange Fellows, some of the craft breweries in Vancouver use these hops, and you need those to make the IPAs.
Hey, Neil, you say, you use the phrase Sirachi Ace, which is a Japanese hop.
Yes. Yeah, so you can grow them here. I mean, in the same way you can grow Pinot Noir, that French grape, you can grow a Japanese hop here. And so they nerd out on their hops.
Here's another name I can screw up. Pascal Roy, the Fabrique Saint-Georges in Vancouver.
Yeah, so the Marché Saint-Georges has been that sort of clubhouse for the cool kids. I don't say that in a dismissive way, but it's just like a cool neighborhood store that everybody wishes they lived by. So we did a story, I think it was in Vancouver Magazine, it must have been almost 3 years ago. He wanted to open this wine bar. And it honestly has taken like almost 3 years of wrangling with the city and permit store. Finally opens it, ta-da-da-da, in the middle of COVID. But it's this, again, it's so cool. The wine bar, it's mostly natural wine right now. They're aging some of their own wine in Kveri, the sort of Georgian amphora that used to make wine in hundreds and hundreds of years ago.
Sure.
But you can go buy a chunk of cheese and an actual like chunk of salami, and they give you a knife and a cutting board and a piece of bread, and they'll pour you wine. And it just has that wine bar vibe that when we go to, it doesn't even, when we go to France, or sometimes, you know, when you and I are in Argentina, like, you find these cool wine bars. It's always so tricky with our rules in British Columbia and Alberta to have a proper wine bar. And this is as close as we've gotten in a long time. It's really cool. It's over just off Main Street and Broadway in Vancouver. A really cool place.
And it's another one of these situations where it's like the guys in with in spirits and whiskey. You got to wait for that whiskey to show up, so you better make something else to pay the bills. And so,
Absolutely. And so
Pascal Roy is working with Mont Boucherie and Scout Vineyard to give them some wines to sell until the real stuff comes along. And I know that the motto of Georgian wine is, we don't make wine, we let grapes turn into wine. They're not in a hurry. They're not in a hurry, and they've got these vessels to work with.
Yeah, it's a cool place.
This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry Nunes Mulligan. He is Neil McLennan, Van Mag, and Western Living. All right, we're going to turn the corner, you and I. And the last segment of this one-hour special, he didn't know when he signed on. Neil is going to join us and do the last nine finalists for the Foodies of the Year from Western Living Magazine. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch, who would like to announce that Black Swift Vineyards has opened The Nest. Their tasting room is open on a first-come, first-served basis, no booking required, currently accepting groups of up to 6 people in accordance with good response guidelines. They have a wonderful patio and a picnic area you can often find on site, Grumpy Chef, Little Tokyo Ramen, and their very own smoke show, smoked meats barbecue food truck on the site. BlackSwiftVineyards.com and TheHatchWines.com. And from all of the worker bees at The Hatch, have a safe and happy 2021. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. The Moon Cursor name pays tribute to the gold smuggling history of Osoyoos. The winery's focus has always been making premium wines from old world grape varieties like Tanat, Dolcetto, and Torrija Nacional. And for all of that hard work and dedication, Moon Cursor was recognized as the number one best performing small winery at the 2019 Wine Align National Wine Awards of Canada. Not only do they have a great wine club, but also think about giving a wine club membership as a great gift. You can find all of the details at mooncursor.com. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. If you joined us several hours ago, this whole idea came about when Neil McLennan sent to all of us a wonderful article in Western Living on the Foodies of the Year 2021, the finalists. There are 40 of them in total. They'll announce the top 10 March the 10th. And Neil specializes in food and travel articles, but also wine. When you travel and you go near food, you're going to go near wine and all sorts of people in this business. So these are the last nine. And I know the Schacht family from having done a number of interviews with them, ampersand. But you asked the question in the column, what's going on with gin in Vancouver Island?
I know, it really is. I mean, I honestly probably do think, you know, it really does sort of go back to like sort of Winchester and the original Victoria gin. Like that was a very early on. There was hardly anything else in the province or in Alberta or in Saskatchewan or Manitoba doing that. So I just, maybe it's a little bit of a head start. Maybe it's the type of people who are attracted to it. But the distillers on the island, that, you know, Ampersands and Duncan, they're just killing it. So weirdly, they get nominated for this, and they do it for a couple of reasons. They win at the World Gin Awards. They win, the Per Se Vodka wins at the World Vodka Awards for best varietal of vodka. So they're like, these are solid, you know, these aren't made up competitions. These are solid competitions. And even after we do this, I'm one of the judges at the Canadian Artists and Spirits Awards, which is blind. So I don't know anyone when I'm tasting or who wins. But even after these guys get their nomination, their Nocino, which is their walnut, dark walnut liqueur, wins the entire category. Of
the entire category. So, I mean, I have half a bottle left. I've got half a bottle left.
It's sold out, by the way. So that is, that's for friends until they make some more, because it's long sold out. Even before they won the entire best of show, that was sold out.
And the part of the story that I really like is the fact that Ramona tends a farm. Jessica is doing marketing and talking to people like me. And Stephen and Jeremy, they're engineers. They created everything that they're making all of these spirits with.
Yeah. By the way, I love the romantic stories about distilling. You know who I want in charge? I want an engineer in charge. These are pressure vessels. These are things that are precise. And I want, having a father-son engineering duo seems to be a winning formula if you look at what these guys are winning these days.
One of the Foodies of the Year nominees is Javel Schuster at Devour Catering in Calgary. What's the story?
and that was one of my talk up at the start of the segment. She has a catering company in Calgary. COVID hits. Someone calls up and says, "Listen, we have 1,000 pounds of potatoes that were supposed to be turned into fries for restaurants. Yep. The restaurants are all closed, and no one's going to them. What do we do?" And it becomes the potato project. She rolls up her sleeves and starts turning them into, meals, ready to eat meals for underprivileged people in the community. So that's the first 1,000. By the time she's done, at the end of the year, 20,000 pounds of potatoes they've essentially volunteered and turned into 16,000 package servings.
There you
potato
go.
Soup, smashed potatoes, O'Brien potatoes. But just one of those awesome COVID stories that came out of Calgary.
Way to go, Devour Catering. Way to go. Gus Steifenhofer? Yes. Gus Steifenhofer Branston. Let me try it again. Gus Steifenhofer from the land of three named people, Gus Steifenhofer Branston. Published on Maine, Vancouver.
Yeah, so he opens this restaurant on Maine just before. He'd been on my radar. He had been I think he's a Winnipeg boy. We had on this list, I'm not sure if he was on the list, but there was a thing called Raw Almond, in which was like a dinner series that was on the Red Rivers in the winter, frozen, and they would put these things up, and he must have been involved in that. So he may have been on this list before, but he comes out here. He opens a restaurant, a really ambitious restaurant on Main Street in Vancouver. And when I say ambitious, really, I feel like the level of cooking and the focus and the reach of what they're trying to do there is as high as any place. And that is so tricky to do during at any time in Vancouver, ultra casual Vancouver. But during COVID, it's been tough. But he's not retreated from that vision. It's become a place where people really go when they want that special, and I know restaurateurs hate that when you say that special meal, when they're interested in the high wire act of culinary.
There you go.
Right? This is not a place for fish and chips, although I'm sure you'd kill it if you did that.
Sure.
This is a place for really focused cuisine. And he's been sticking with it. And there's been a cadre of enough of people who even during COVID want this, that it's been continuing to move forward. So it's a sort of cool thing. Really a guy working at the top of his game right now.
Well, and Gus has been through some interesting cooking lines at Hawksworth and Pear Tree. So, I mean, that's a pretty good 1-2 punch right there.
Yeah. And I can't remember where else. I feel like he has a couple other maybe Noma or maybe the Farms of Blue Hills. I can't remember. He has a couple other insanely good notches on his resume, and they're escaping me right now, but they're amazing. They're world class.
And one of the great guys in the business, Ian Tostison, who is in fact the business. He's a longtime head of the BC Restaurant and Food Services Association. But in that capacity, he has the ability to put people together, to have projects move forward.
Yeah, he's really, I mean, Ian's been in this job for, I think, over a decade. And so he has been a lot of ways the face of the industry. But, you know, once COVID happens and all restaurants from your cactus clubs to your mom and pop shop are facing some of the same issues with liquor, issues with patios, issues with these things that they're saying, listen, if we don't get some relaxations on the crazy rules we deal with in BC, we're going to go out of business. And so that's when he's not a lobbyer, but he is someone who raises issues and has other people who can apply pressure. And, you know, we both in Vancouver and province-wide, we had relaxations and liquor delivery. We had relaxations in wholesale pricing, which was so insane that restaurants essentially had to buy retail liquor for the last God knows how long. So he's really applied the pressure and been a reasoned but firm voice for the industry, who's just been slammed the last 12 months. So he really has come into his own like good leaders do when the you-know-what hits the fan like it did with COVID.
Foodie of the Western Living's Foodie of the Year finalists number 35. This is a story I know well. The Turek family at Unsworth have sponsored Tasty Room Radio for the last number of years. But then a wonderful story developed. You can run with that one.
Yeah, it's amazing. So it was, you know, all us wine nerds know about this story, but so Unsworth has really been a great winery since the Turks founded it. I think it's from Kerrisdale in Vancouver. And they go there, they don't shy away from the varietals that work well on the island. They really honestly don't try and jam a square peg into a round hole. They really work with what their terroir is and so forth. And year after year, their reputation grows. Year after year, they make more bottles. They sell out earlier on some of their bottles. So a great story, and it's not even the denouement, maybe the midpoint. Barbara Banky and Julia Jackson from Jackson Family Estates, which, for, again, most people wouldn't know about, but if you go on Jackson Family Estates website, you know, there is probably no greater high-end wine conglomerate than that. When you look at some of the, and you wouldn't know a bunch of these wines. Obviously, people know Kendall Jackson, but there's a lot of very high-end Oregon, California, Italy wine things. They pick quality throughout the world. So Jackson Family doesn't buy this, but Barbara and Julia themselves purchase Unsworth. And that is a vote for the island that is quite unbelievable. Their own money. I mean, so the Turks are going to stay on, and they'll continue to be the shepherds of this property that they've turned into such a gem. And then you have one of the most acclaimed business side of high-end wine people giving a vote with their own pocketbook. It really is one of the things. We're bad in the industry about patting ourselves on the back because we don't want to be seen as braggarts. We're such Canadians, but this is a huge pat on the back. This is a huge vote of confidence from a worldwide wine source.
Number 36, Neil, Josh Vanderhyde.
Fieldhouse
Brewery in Abbotsford.
Yeah, just great. They're opening the one in Chilliwack. They're expanding. I love it. They're Abbey born and raised, but they're really good beers. That's sometimes tough to find. They sell out very quickly. But when you see them, they really make interesting beers. I really, really like it. They're big on sours. When everyone else is making IPAs, they make sours. They're expanding into Chilliwack this year. So just taking a step back and giving an applause to one of our favorite craft breweries who I think deserves a little bit more praise.
We have a mutual friend in Peter Van de Riep, who everybody knew at Campagnolo upstairs. But now Bar Gobo has opened, and he's there. He's working with Andrea Carlson.
Yeah, he is. So this is again. I talk about we have an embarrassment of riches. We don't have enough wine bars. We have two great ones open in 1 year. This is down in Chinatown. Andrea Carlson from Burdock and Company opens it. Peter leaves the sadly closed Campagnolo upstairs and effortlessly comes in here. He happens to be the reigning BC sommelier of the year. Notwithstanding, he's also a bartender. He's also all these things. He's a multi-talented guy, and he's a great host. And his infectious personality and his love of wine just covers all of Bargo. But I mean, again, they've had to open during COVID, which is less than ideal. But great little plates from Andrea. Great focus on non-interventionist wine or low-intervention wine, but really cool bottles you don't see anywhere else. It's a great place in Chinatown.
And the best facial hair in the business.
Oh, yeah, very good.
Now, I know a Brian Welsh, who's a wine guy, a friend of mine, in Edmonton, but this is a different Brian Welsh you've got on your list. He makes sandwiches.
Yeah, this is, you know, sometimes, often, we want to celebrate someone who owns one place or a chef, but this is someone who's like been killing it in sandwiches. I think he has three in Edmonton, and they're just they're I don't want to say they're COVID perfect restaurants, but they really adapt very well to COVID. And he's going great guns. And he's also this year opened High Dough, which is like a Detroit style deep dish pizza. He's just one of those guys who's making the food fabric of Edmonton like just that much cooler with this place and this place and this place. And so my friends in the YEG tell me he's just killing it. He's awesome. So, yeah, that's Brian.
Neil, I'm particularly interested in Cool Kitchen Vancouver and Asha Wieldon's story.
Yeah. So it's in some ways it's an awesome story. I mean, it's awesome because it's a plant-based thing, which has become one of our calling cards, really. I think if British Columbia and the West in general were focusing on some trends, I think plant-based is something we've been embracing for a long time, and we're doing it. So it's Afrocentric on top of it all. So there's just that. That's one that could be enough to be on the list. But one of the other things that Asha did, who runs Kula Kitchen, is she was one of the first person when the Black Lives Matter movement sort of became a bigger thing finally in British Columbia and Vancouver. She just became a resource for saying, listen, here's a directory of black-owned businesses. And that's what people were looking for. There was a juncture where, you know, there was faced with the reality, people were like, what can we do to help? And she was really instrumental, stepped into that with getting the resources there for people to figure out where they could put their shopping dollars if they wanted to, you know, be a supporter.
And number 40, Greg Zestchuk.
Okay, we're there. And this is, again, it's not one we normally would do, but this is such a cool idea. Like the Ritchie Market in Edmonton has just become this Grand Central Station of all things that are cool for foodie. There's a new Duchess Bakery. I mean, the Duchess Bakery is one of the most famous bakeries in the country now. So there's a new outpost of that. There's this super cool, like, small Acme Meats place. There's a super cool coffee place. Blind Enthusiasm Brewing is there. Biera is there. So it's just become this one spot. This was a guy who made some money in a I think it was in a biotech company, and he took it and said, you know, I want to make this building that's going to be this great gathering place for everyone who loves food. And he succeeded more than anyone else. Anyway, it's called the Ritchie Market. It's on the south side of Edmonton. It's supposed to be awesome.
Let's go hang at the Ritchie Market. I love that.
I know. I feel like you look at those things, you could spend a week there and be happy.
That's just fantastic. You've done it. You have. I was trying to remember the last person who had the whole hour. I think it was Anthony von Mantel. And that was a long time ago. In supreme company here. He is the charming Neil McLennan, the food and travel editor of Van Mag and Western Living magazine. And he has been detailing the top 40 finalists for the Western Living Foodies of the Year. And the top 10 will be announced March the 10th. How will it be announced March the 10th, this top 10?
It'll be, we'll do it online first. And then when the issue will come out shortly, a day or two after that, it'll trickle out to whatever outlets that people normally find it. And that's when you'll have the nice spreads and the portraits and the essays and so forth on the 10 who we've shining the spotlight even brighter on. So I guess they're technically the winners. I think all 40 of these people are sort of winners.
And Neil, how do you find out about them if you don't know? Or do people write you? Do they send suggestions?
Yeah, all year. I mean, it's now, where I think, as you say, we're 15 years in. Now they trickle in throughout the year. Then we sit back as a team and sort through, people who are industry chefs tell us, you know, people past winners said, you know, I have someone who has done a really great job. We sometimes just get an email into the general mailbox saying, hey, I just went to a pizza place in Revelstoke that's amazing. And you know, we just chase the leads.
Okay, and do you have a Twitter handle that people can get a hold of you?
Just the Western Living Twitter. The Western _ Living is good, and it'll be on Instagram, and it'll be on our site on those days, which is westernliving.ca.
Thank you for this hour of your life. You'll never get it back.
No, that's okay. It's a noble sacrifice.
Neil McLennan has taken over and competently worked us through the top 40 foodie finalists, and I thank him for that. Thank you. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. The Moon Cursor name pays tribute to the gold smuggling history of Osoyoos. The winery's focus has always been making premium wines from old world grape varieties like Tanat, Dolcetto, and Torrija Nacional. After all of that hard work and dedication, Moon Cursor was recognized as the number one best performing small winery at the 2019 Wine Align National Wine Awards of Canada. Not only do they have a great wine club, but also think about giving a wine club membership as a great gift. You can find all of the details at mooncursor.com.